In the meantime, we here are ready for the off and for the actual results, with outside broadcast cameras at Guildford, where once again they are hoping to be the very first to take the honours for the first actual result of this election. We're also going to Stirling, where the Scottish National Party's hopes are high. And, of course, every Scottish patriot there can remember another famous victory in the vicinity of Bannockburn just over 600 years ago. And also to Bath in Somerset, where we'll be taking a particular interest in the fortunes of the newly converted Liberal Christopher Mayhew. And up in the northeast, we have another man who followed his conscience. We shall be at Blyth to see if another former Labour MP, Eddie Milne, holds onto the seat that he won in February against the official Labour candidate there. This is an hour of greatest importance to our country. Our futures depend on it. But elections wouldn't be elections without a bit of the razzmatazz and even a bit of a gamble. So just to compare with how our own polls today are suggesting, let's see how the punters are behaving now just after 10 o'clock on election night. £1 million has been staked, apparently. Julian Wilson has some of the answers for us at William Hill's headquarters in South East London.
Well, if you believe, as they do here, that money talks, there can only be one answer to this election, and that is a resounding win for Labour, because since the campaign started 3 weeks ago, they have been firm favourites. They opened up at 2-1 on. The largest bet of the election was struck at that price of £25,000. Since then, they've got shorter all the time. This morning, they were 4-1 on. The Conservatives opened at 6-4. They've always been on the drift. They're now 3-1, and the Liberals, they were 50-1 this morning, with no overall majority quoted at 6-4. But following the dramatic prediction at the top of the programme, now a change in the odds. Labour now 5-1 on, Conservatives 7-2 against. The Liberals go out to 66-1. That's the state of the parties here for the time being. Back to the election studio.
Well, Julian was saying Labour are 5-1 on. That means you have to put £5 down to win £1. And, of course, what that means is that Labour are the clear favourites now all round. As we know well in this studio, though, pollsters and bookmakers can be wrong. And odds on favourites can limp home in second place. Mr. Heath, for example, now remembers, I'm sure, all too well his position in February. On that night at this time, all the big money was on him. Well, David Dimbleby has been with Mr. Heath at his constituency in Sidcup in Kent.
This is the hall of the Chislehurst and Sidcup Grammar School, where in February last, Mr. Heath, then Prime Minister, came to hear his own result and stood here under the balcony, out of sight of the television cameras, as his aides scurried backwards and forwards, bringing him the news of the general election result as a whole, and not a word of comfort. Tonight, after a campaign fought in quite a different style, he'll be back here as the electorate gives his verdict. Everyone who's watched him during this campaign has agreed, I think, that he's fought it with great confidence and determination, despite the evidence of the polls and despite doubts among members of his own party. Today at the constituency, he's been determinedly cheerful. He's at his agent's house now. He'll be here about 1:20 for his own result. His majority last time, 10,000. This time he has four opponents, Liberal, Labour, two independents. The Tories say that there's no doubt that he'll hold the seat. What will be interesting is what that result shows about not just how Mr. Heath understood the mood of the nation, but about how well he understood the mood of his own people here in Sidcup, a constituency which so closely resembles his own background. This is David Dimbleby at Sidcup.
Well, polls can say one thing, but it's actual results which matter. And to Mr. Wilson, now up in his constituency at Highton in Lancashire on Merseyside, it's the results that he's going to be looking for. Michael Charlton is at Highton.
And in a comprehensive school here at Highton, where Mr. Wilson's poll will be declared. And for all of you who seek omens in these last hours of strain for everybody, particularly for the politicians themselves, I have to say that Mr. Wilson looks buoyantly confident here today.
Well, I'm afraid we have lost the picture from Highton, but of course we hope to have it back there for Mr. Wilson's own count and for words from Michael Charlton, a report later on. I wonder if we can now go down to North Devon, where Mr. Jeremy Thorpe, of course, has his headquarters and from which he has regularly addressed journalists and indeed the nation. So down there, David Lomax.
This is in fact his headquarters. This is the Queen's Hall in Barnstaple, where at about 1 o'clock this morning we'll know just how successful Mr. Jeremy Thorpe has been in defending his majority and retaining the seat he's held here in North Devon for the last 15 years. But throughout that time, it hasn't by any means been safe Liberal territory the whole time. In 1970, for instance, Mr. Thorpe only just managed to scrape back with 369 votes. And this seemed to have shocked him so much that he and his workers pulled out all the stops. And last time, in the February election, he came back with a majority of 11,000 votes. Well, this seems to have made him much more confident in this campaign. He's been going outside the constituency, he's been touring everywhere by helicopter, and even his, privately, his workers do admit, though, that they think that his majority might just be cut a little this time because of a new Conservative opponent, and also, of course, he has a Labour component and the English National Party. Well, we know the result at about 1 o'clock this morning from the Queen's Hall, Barnstaple. This is David Lomax in Devon North.
And so far tonight, we can't give the Liberals much encouragement, although, of course, they could do well in individual constituencies. More of that in a moment. This is Mr. Wilson's fifth campaign as leader of the Labour Party. And let's see if we can go back to Highton and Michael Charlton.
I got as far as telling you, I think, how confident Mr. Wilson has looked here this afternoon. Mr. Wilson may not be a universally popular man, but his popularity visibly and unmistakably improves up here in the north, and particularly in Highton. All the afternoon and this evening too, we've watched him being cheered by small groups of people wherever he's gone as he's surged round his constituency with his red rosette and his buttonhole glowing like a traffic light, and I'm sure he's been cheered up by the reception he's had. We've watched him toss kids' balloons in the air for the photographers, and he's a man who leaves nothing to chance, though, because even up to a couple of hours ago, I was watching him exhorting children to go home and get their mothers and fathers to come out of the council estates here, which mostly make up the Highton constituency, and get them to come out and vote. And all this is very much in contrast to how I remember him looking last time here in February, when I thought he was drawn and tired and anxious, and how it was with the approach of victory a couple of hours later, which is like artificial respiration to a politician, he was then soon miraculously aglow. And that's what he's looked like here today in Highton, a man who believes and is fully confident that he's going to win. He's already broken Clement Attlee's record in office. Ahead of him lie more elusive records like those of Walpole and Mr. Gladstone, who was with us for so long in the last century. And later on here tonight, we'll see Mr. Wilson on the scaffold behind us, and we'll know his own result, and by then we should know the result of the election too.
There's a Michael Charlton indicator from Highton. Well, I've no doubt that all three party leaders are very keenly watching the predictions of the polls taken today and seeing whether they match up with what has happened so far and with their own impressions of the campaign. Now, if you've just joined us, if you're just back from the pub, or perhaps you've been out voting at the very last minute and just got home, we can now give you some further details of our How Did You Vote poll, taken for us by the Harris Organisation in 135 constituencies today. We've broken this poll down into two sections. First, Great Britain as a whole. Secondly, Scotland alone. And these are the details of how you voted today. First of all, the Great Britain one. And there we have Labour with 43.5%, Conservative 33%, Liberal 18%, and the Scottish National Party and others, Welsh Nationalist Party and so on, 5.5%. Of course, that doesn't show up well on a Great Britain basis for the Scottish Nationalists. And if that were true, if that really is the result tonight and tomorrow, then Labour would have 380 seats, Conservatives down to 200, Liberals sticking at 15, that's just one more or so than they had, and others, these would be chiefly Nationalists, but of course Ulster, also Mr. Powell's Ulster Unionist in Northern Ireland, 40 seats. But on that prediction, it would give Mr. Wilson a clear overall majority. Well, now, David.
Well, firstly, I think those figures may actually be an utter estimate in that they're based on the votes up to 8:15. We've still got later votes, and on the whole, people supporting the Labour Party vote later in the day, so there might actually be an increase if one's just sticking by the figures. On the other hand, the Scottish evidence isn't yet solid, and very unexpected things may happen in Scotland. Labour might lose quite a number of seats there to the Nationalists, which might cut the figure down by a bit. But I find it terribly difficult to conceive that Labour isn't in by a three-figure majority over all parties on these figures, and perhaps by a majority of 150 over the Conservatives. There are all those marginal seats that are going to be toppling over tonight. There may be a few that stand out. One other thing, the Liberals. The Liberals do seem to be holding up reasonably well. They are going to drop overall about 4%, but I think it's going to be very uneven, and they may be holding on rather well in their own seats. So they may gain up in seats, but may gain in seats even if they're down in votes.
Let's go now to see the results from our polls taken today in Scotland. This is the news for the Scottish Nationalist. Labour, 39.3%. Scottish Nationalist, clearly the second party, 36.3%. Conservatives down to 18.5%. And the Liberals and others scarcely featuring at 5.9%. And now Bill Miller in Glasgow. How do those figures strike you, given the other poll results in Scotland and the campaign so far?
Well, I think the most obvious thing to say about the Scottish results is there's a 14.5% swing from the Conservatives to the Nationalists. We had prepared here a little swingometer which shows you the seats which the Nationalists might expect to gain from the Conservatives. And the first news tonight is that we are already right off this swingometer. The Nationalists should gain Angus South, Ross and Cromarty, Galloway, Dumbarton, East Perthshire, Angus North and Mearns. They should also gain Dumfries and Fife East.